episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drug fucked tonight. Open up to your bum.
Well, a lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
Now recording. Actually, no, I'm the wrong show for that. That's the Fakeologist audio that says now recording. This is Rick and Roro. Rick and Roro. Episode, I can't remember, but Roller hasn't even, he's gone to get some beer and he's going to come back in the room very shortly. Rick and Roller episode, I think 25, would it be 25? I think it could be on the we'll have to wait for the professional because he is way more professional than me when it comes to talking. Now it's the 29th of March, 2025. That's 11-3 as well, be told, in numerics. Be told, 11-3. 29 is number 11, and March is the 3rd. Guaranteed, be 100, 1 billion trillion percent. So on Saturday, the 29th, Rick and Rollo, I was going to mute, and Rollo should be in the room. He will come in there talking very shortly, be told. Rick and Rollo.
Hey, mate.
How are you, Rollo?
Not too bad. How's my new mic?
Hey, fantastic.
Saturday. Saturday, the 29th of March, 2025. RAR, Rick and Rollo. Not Rollo and Rick. Or maybe we call it the Rick Roll tonight. The Rick Roll.
No, I just
Rick speak Roll 025.
Speaking of Rick Astley, did you know he was number one? They had the other day, they had a competition set. Who was the number one song of 1988? And I remember 1988 being a year of really boring music.
Well, Rick, and I got to tell you, I'm never going to give you up. I'll never let you down. I'll never run around or desert you. I'll never say goodbye.
Never gonna give you.
Where's Jolo? Where's Jolo to play that Rick right now? Rick and Jolo. I listened to it on the way home tonight. Yes.
I thought you might have been forgotten it because I've just had to, I had my father pull in for a visit on the way home, and I would have thought, being a you know his age and everything, he would have stayed free accommodation. But he's with his mad fucking lunatic wife. And they've just, he decided, he goes, no, we need to go further south. Probably about 30 minutes.
Oh, Jolo!
back. It's Rick.
Oh, thank you, Jolo. Jolo is listening to us.
Fantastic. Yeah. Hey, anyway, Rollo.
Go for it.
All right, so anyway, he said you want a few beers. We had a few beers, and I kept thinking, why wouldn't you just stay? You know, like you got to get, but now you just get in the car with this woman that should not be anywhere.
You were like that back in the day. Remember when we were on the balcony and, you know, in the morning, you know, the skid mark and Avelis at Jolo stayed.
Jolo.
But you just, you had to go. You had to go. You had better people to talk with.
Yeah, I know,
with.
Yeah, but if I was staying with my son, I hadn't seen for 6 months or 7 months.
All right. Yeah, if it's family, it's different.
I'll stay. Yeah. But it's a way, honestly, weird things happen when you get old. I'm telling you, who
how old are you now? How old am I? 55? How old are you?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about, I'm way worse than that, but I'm talking about when you get to me, old is 80-something, right? And things, your brain starts... So it either shuts down or it just stops working. One of the things. Something goes weird when you're about 80, something or other.
Is that right? Well, I'm not even close to that, and neither are you, so let's not worry about that.
Yeah, for now.
Okay.
Never going to give you.
Come on, let's do it. Take two. Come on, Jolo. Come on, give us a bit more. There we go. I know, we got the best producer in the world, Jolo.
Super producer with the Medusa.
Yeah.
Rick,
we call him Belichick or Jolo now?
No, Jolo. Rick and Jolo.
Jolo.
Yeah. Be told. We did the fantastic show last Sunday night. Just total free.
I listened to it on the way home, on the bus. I went on the bus.
What were you doing on the bus?
I went, I got a lift to the bottle shop to get a bag of goon.
Oh,
quality goon.
You're not on the beer anymore.
No, I am right now. I've got a James Bay Premium in my hand. What's in your hand, Rick?
What? Cooper's low carb.
Yeah, Cooper's. Yeah, they brew in their own bottles. It's.
No, not this one. But yes, they do. Some of them do. Yeah, the red ones do for sure.
Yeah, it's a South Australian beer, isn't it?
Cooper's. Can I just tell you, Rollo? It's fucking damp would be the best way to describe it. I just went out to the car to help with my father. To get rid of them, to put them in the car. And I was up to my feet sank into my own front lawn. It's so damp out there that it's like, fuck, it's, oh.
Do you know you could bore for your country?
I can which?
You could bore. I was just listening to you talk about Kyle. Kyle, that'd be something Kyle would say. You could bore for your country.
You still fancy Jackie O? I do actually. I think
do you remember when she went up to Northern Territory and what was the name of that band that played their music? Friends or Romp?
Friends or Romp. Yeah, they were.
Yeah, and then Kyle says, "I'm going to punch you. If I was up there, I'd punch you." Yeah. Oh, yeah. So the lead singer of Friends or Romp, which is a mate of my mates. Yep. A mate of mine, Darren, is a good friends with the lead singer. And he said, he's going to bring violence, eh? Is that your answer? Is it? And do you remember when Ernie Dingo called him a dickhead? When he said, I'll cut Wombat's babies out or something. He goes, you know what you're fucking talking about. Ernie Dingo just, you're a fucking dickhead. You're a buffhead, mate. Yeah. I don't know how we get fucking $6 million over the next 5 years.
We were talking about this. Did you? So we were talking about the witches thing. Did you listen to the show that we're talking? Me and Joel.
That's the one I was listening to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I support him and Jackie O for standing up to the what do they call themselves? Those fucking witches. You know.
Well, Belliset was saying they had a really nice website and they were selling T-shirts for $55 or some shit.
A T-shirt.
And, a T-shirt. Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, Kyle's probably got a private investigator on them. He's got the money to do it and found out there's only 30 of them. There's 30 people. And you can imagine what they look like. They'd be kind of...
blue hair, bearded, bloody bearded, lefty, blue hair, widow.
Bearded women.
You know
and,
it.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Yeah. And they are absolutely targeting all of exactly what they did to Jonesy. They targeted all the sponsors and just said,
"This is a disgrace. What happened to him?"
So what they
I don't like him that much, but I like him more now
because
he's been. What did he do? What did he do? He didn't rape anyone. He maybe grabbed some young intern.
Did he really?
You know, in the crotch or something? Maybe.
I doubt that.
God knows how long ago that was. Isn't there a bloody a law that says, or you know, if you 20 years ago, like you know, what's it called?
I'll tell you what. They had to Rollo. They had to get rid of Jonesy because he had people like my father and his wife knows Jonesy. Jones knows her. That means that she's someone.
Oh, okay. So are you saying where Jones knows where the bodies are buried type thing?
No. My father was a total Alan Jones groupie. Like he'd listen to every morning. Yeah. Before John Laws, he'd listen to Alan Jones. And his political opinions are shaped whatever Jones said. Or so he's very, you know, liberal, very, very liberal. And I used to say to him, he's an old poof. And he goes, oh, yeah, don't be, you know, he kind of went off.
The biggest open secret in the world. I mean, like,
yeah, it was an old poof.
Almighty, like, when you get caught in, what was it, in public that bloody toilet. English toilet? Yeah, in England.
He got
when he was,
up,
what was what he? Oh, yeah, like George Michael. George Michael said the same thing, you know.
George Michael was, you're right.
Yeah, hit that perfect beat, hey, Vello, play that song. Hit that perfect beat, boy, you got those feelings.
We've got the feeling
all over me. Beat boy. Exactly, they don't put ugly boys. Their red boys are very, very pretty. And that's why it's called a sting, or what is it called? Like where you've been set up. No.
Jones's one was set up. Like what they do is they get a young cop, right?
Yeah.
And so he just walks into the public toilet, and all the old queens are all waiting around, you know, watching.
God.
And all they had to do was walk up and. Hit the urinal and stand next to this guy.
Yep.
And the guy obviously thinks, oh, he is a young, handsome man.
Of course.
He would have.
Even I would have been attracted to that back in the day.
Well, there you go. So there you go, Rollo. So there, for the grace of God, goes you. Anyway, as soon as he starts manipulating, he shakes it more than twice. Remember that three shakes and you're wanking.
Is what they say. Then suddenly, you're busted.
Yeah. And so Jones got done. And remember when he got done, you know how he flew to he got Kerry Packer and Rupert Murdoch flew to England to be with Alan Jones in his moment of crisis.
Oh, did they?
When it happened. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
because he turned, so he got, must have got told, look, you know, we'll make this go away for a while. But you've got to do whatever we say. So he would literally be pushing the Murdoch or whatever. Whoever told him what to say, he'd say it.
I think he
was controlled.
I think he earned more at the time, more than Lawsy. There was Neil Mitchell down in Melbourne on AM 3AW, but it was Jonesy on 2GB and then Lawsy on 2UE.
And so the public, including my own father, were completely, would listen to everything he says, and their voting, their opinions were all shaped by a guy being controlled by the media owners of the newspapers. So that's the weaponization, and it's how weaponized things are.
I'm going to do my Alan Jones thought for the day. Well, you're listening to. Well, I'm now in deep shit. But now, the fellow is Buffett. His name, you know, you were trying to think of Stanzimonic before. I know it. Stanzimonic was one of my favorites of all time. Yeah, I mean, you know, I like John Stanley as well. you know, when it comes to like no, super Stanley's, duper Stanley's, radio Stanley's, stars, Stanley's there is no other than John Laws. Yeah. John Laws,
I you absolutely. You blockheaded bastard. You blockheaded bastard. Come
hey,
on, John.
Here we go. See.
Come on, John.
Actually,
he can probably play.
How long does it take? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He can probably play if he can. One of all right. Rollo and John Laws.
All right, we've done nostalgia. So now
you've got a list.
I tell you something that amused me. I watched. I've got Paramount Plus on here on streaming.
Yeah.
I watched the South Park episode where Randy buys this $10,000 toilet. Do you remember the golden skid, Mark? He had a special toilet where you didn't need paper.
It's a bidet.
But it's all in one.
Bidet.
And so this excellent episode of South Park, Randy buys this, and then he's got his proctologist says, oh, "Look, I'm off to my off to my holiday in Spain. I'm here to check up on your hemorrhoids and all your anal." And he goes, "No, I've got this brand new toilet. It's 10.
You're listening to
Rick and Roll over 25.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. Truthmeets.com, Saturday, the 29th of March, 2025. Rick and Rollo, 25. Yeah, it is. We are talking about the most wonderful $10,000 toilet. Now, Golden Skid Mark, or what do we call him?
Noise Level.
He's a lovely bloke, and I'll never forget him.
Big bloke.
Yeah, great artist, you know. Did work for Disney, worked for, he did sort of sell, back in the old days where you could actually, remember Hanna-Barbera, but even better than that. Anyway, this toilet that Randy bought was $10,000, and his proctologist comes over and says, "Oh, we're off to Spain on our holiday, and but I'm going to check you for your what's it called? What are those? Kidney beans that stick out your hemorrhoids and all these." And he goes, "No, they've all gone away. I got this $10,000 toilet. Go and try it yourself." And then there's Randy listening while he's trying to use this toilet, because it lifts the seat for you and it plays music and it does gentle puffs of, beautiful scented. It's $10,000, and it's got a computer in it.
That is true. There are really toilets like that. Yeah,
exactly. And there's the proctologist trying to destroy it because he's losing business. because Randy,
if it was a really good one, it would be a squatty potty like the fake Holland.
In Thailand, where you just put your plant your feet there. There's a hole in the ground.
Yep.
And you just unleash, you don't even need toilet paper, it doesn't even touch the side.
That's a squatty potty. Apparently that's the best way to do it.
I went, I had to do it, but there were instructions. For Westerners, how to take a shit, because you've been holding it in for 8 hours or something.
And next thing you know, you've got a
you've got 2 feet, sit there, squat, take a shit. That's it. And it's awesome. And then you just go, "Wow, how easy is that?"
It's like if you're actually in the bush or anywhere else, and you have to quickly do something, and you have to hunch down, you take your pants off or whatever. You can't do it without doing that.
Squat,
and it comes straight out. There's no build up and squatty potty.
Do you know what Elvis did?
Apparently so.
He had 4 months worth of fucking poo inside him. Yeah. And he's straining so hard in 1977 on in Graceland there on the toilet. It blew the top of off his heart, the aorta.
I don't, but look, to be honest, Roller, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
That's what happened.
That's what the girl, that's what his girlfriend.
Yeah.
That's what his girlfriend said.
he had 4 months. When they did the autopsy on him, he had four months backed up. Yeah.
He said coughing. Still.
What's the go with that cough? Is that cold beer or something you said last night? That's what you were trying. I think you've got COVID. I think you should take a shot. Take the shot.
I should be vaccinated. I think I should be vaccinated. You know, I do think you might be 100% correct.
I swear to God, if they keep going on about this measles thing in, like, you know, that Kennedy guy.
Yes.
I'm a wanker. You know, I'm just going, like, seriously, I read the book. It's called Andrew Wakefield, Callous Disregard with the Jenny McCarthy. I've read the book. It's a dry read.
He still with Elle Macpherson?
No, he got kicked out of England, and he's still living in Texas. He's still alive and well.
Yeah, no, but Elle Macpherson was his partner.
Really? Good luck to him. Wow. I'd love to be tapping Elle.
And that's why when she actually, I read this article about Elle Macpherson and her, she had breast cancer allegedly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she cured herself, and she said what she did, was she ate healthy food?
Just say that again. She cured herself, not killed herself. It sounded killed.
Cured
herself. Yeah. Yep.
And when she was explaining it to a woman's magazine that paid her probably 100,000+ for the article,
okay,
she went out of her way to go, I had to. What she kept saying goes, my ex husband and my children and were so scared. Because I didn't want to take vaccines and wouldn't take and she made out, so what she did damage control all throughout this whole article. Instead of saying, I refuse to take the doctor's advice, what she did to cover, because that's what she did. She didn't take the doctor's advice and she did her own thing and she changed her diet and she cleansed herself and she cured herself. But instead of saying, I did it naturally, she said, everyone told me it was so bad and my children were really angry.
Yeah. Well, the biggest grift, and this is breast cancer that we're talking about, Elle Macpherson. Yep. Look, the biggest grift is, it's called screening. Screening means all it means.
Squashing
your
boob.
It's like when boob you're squashing. 10-50, Rotary sends you that bowel kit or something, it's basically, they want customers. That's all they want. It's the biggest grift. Yeah. If they find a right-sized lump in your breast, and then they look up and then they go, "Holy fuck, your net worth is like $3 million, man."
You're gonna go,
"Yeah, we're on. You've got breast cancer." But if you've got a right-sized lump, and you're on the dole, it's all good. It's just benign. You go. Go and buy a bag of goon, the whole cancer industry. Oh, it's disgusting! It's disgusting. Yep. And the only three methods of treatment are in the allopathic.
Chop
it off, or radiation, or bloody chemotherapy. It's just disgusting. What about change your diet?
When
I had a massive lump on my testicle and I changed my diet, now I still got both my nuts. Whereas my mate, who was a good mate, only has one because he's got his nut scrotum split and they pulled it out and they went, there you go. He still had two kids. I mean, it still works. That's the reason you got two of things. You know, you got two eyes, you got two ears.
Two kidneys.
Yeah, you got two kidneys, you got two
one
nuts.
Liver,
the, one yeah, liver, exactly. One penis. One, liver. One, penis.
One,
liver.
One penis.
And mine's massive. One penis, massive. Oh yeah, you want to be in the road when that's on full mast. When mine's on full mast, just exit the building. 12 inches of pure Rollo,
or 12 inches of exaggeration by Rollo, as usual.
All right. Yes, hey, Rick, I've told myself a million times. Not to exaggerate.
I've told you a million times to stop going on about it, but you can't.
All right. All right, we're going to do some RIPs. George Foreman, we lost him.
Yep.
The big George who went toe-to-toe with the Ali. Thank you. George.
This is like a fat podcast, 54, could be, 53.
Yeah.
So you're George Foreman, the man who he got behind the upright grill, which actually removed the good stuff out of your meat.
That's right. Yeah, the grill, the George Foreman grill. That's right. Yeah. And it would the grease would
fats, would actually not bad for you. Mm. So you're just eating basically.
But I liked it when he was in the ring with he went toe to toe with Ali, didn't he? And who else? Frazier. Did you go with Frazier?
Yes.
Foreman. Yeah, he was. He was a massive drug pusher. The Pfizer right at the end. Yeah.
So George Foreman pushed the vaccine big time. A boss.
Yep.
And there he big was time. Bragging yep. about it.
With his arm up there, getting the shot
injection straight into his arm.
So I said to in my little my I just said to like. Pity the fool. You know, like remember Mr. T when he says that?
I pity the fool.
That's what I said to George Foreman.
Top fool.
You know,
Mr. T.
Rest in peace, but I pity the fool. Yeah,
I love. How do you like your coffee, Mr. T? In a cup, fool.
There you go.
That was him. Yeah, no, that was bad. So George Foreman, who else has passed on this realm, Rollo?
This week. That's the only super uber famous one. Are you sure? I'm sure there are many others.
There's got to be someone else. Surely someone else is on. I'm not.
You look it up.
No, I can't be bothered. Are you bringing death into the room? Yes, you are.
Of course. Thank you.
Speaking of, where is he?
I haven't heard him in a week.
I'll be doing a show with him tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, okay. Well, bong pass on my regards.
29. Bong was saying,
is he going to be spliffing? Are you going to be spliffing?
He will be.
He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind a spliff, does he?
No, he calls it, I'm having a J-bird. He has a J-bird.
Good on him. All right. Okay. So I've got a whole list of shit to talk about. Hey, while we're talking, why don't we talk about jokes? Let's ask Velocet if he can play this Harrison Ford gag. Do you know that grumpy old guy he played? I think it was Han Solo
Han Solo.
Yeah. He says this joke. I'll send it. While we continue, I'll send it to Joel. Yeah, because it's actually quite funny because he's married to Calista Flockhart, isn't he still?
Is he still?
Yeah, that's Ally McBeal. Ally McBeal, that's right. Okay, I'm going to send this to Velo. Because it is absolutely, well, I think it's funny. They say it's the funniest joke ever.
I saw that, but I didn't. I haven't listened to it yet. Is it?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll send it to Villa when I find it. Gary Newman. Oh my god! No. It'll take a little while. Before we go there,
I've been listening.
Why did you bring Donnie Darko up last week? Gyllenhaal. What were you talking about, Donnie Darko? I can't remember. It was an awesome movie. Here we go. Here we go. Okay, copy link, and I'll send that to
Jollo.
There we go. I just sent it Rick straight and to Jollo.
Rick and Jollo show episode.
There we go.
Be told.
Oh, he just says, busy cooking dinner, not at the computer at the moment. Yeah, anyway, look, I've sent him the joke. So move on. So the Tesla, what's going on? Everyone's turning on
Elon Musk.
Elon. What's going on with
the Tesla?
I never thought about buying one. Electric cars.
They look nice. But I don't want anything.
Do you remember that time? I almost got run over in underneath the Harbour Bridge?
No, but it wouldn't surprise
you. You can't hear those fucking things.
No, you can't.
When you used to look right and left when you were a kiddie, because you could hear
the car coming.
But not with those, But back in the '70s, they did have electric ones when they didn't want to wake people up when they were delivering milk. Remember that? And that's a true thing.
Well, can I just say this? In 1890, in New York City, N-O-O, that's what John LeBron says, clip that one, New York, not new, it's New York, like Nunu, the vacuum cleaner from the Teletubbies.
Okay.
What was the most popular car on the road in 1890-something or other, New York City? It was the electric taxi. The taxis were all electric in New York in the 1890s.
Wow.
Does anyone realize that? Every single taxi was electric. We had electric vehicles all, you know, we're now talking about 130 years ago, 140 years ago, electric vehicles were the most popular car on the roads in New York. That's been removed out of most people's collective knowledge. I remember seeing dwarves, a proper dwarf, I kid you not, a real dwarf.
What's the difference between a dwarf and a midget?
14 centimetres? I'm not sure. I'm just joking. But there was a dwarf that used to live where I lived in New Zealand. And he had this...
Did he have that funny little voice?
Yeah. G'day, mate.
Hey, Rick.
G'day, mate.
Yeah. No, I don't know. But he looked like he actually had a beard and everything. He looked like a if you imagine.
Did you laugh at him?
No, children are horrible. The people just stare, and I felt so sorry for him even as a child. But he lived in where I lived, and he had this big electric. It looked like a steampunk type vehicle, but he'd zoom around. Yeah. I say zoom around. He scuttled about.
Yeah.
Mm. No, he actually drove around. It was a battery-charged electric dwarf vehicle, a dwarf mobile.
Did he need a license?
I don't know, but he drove it on the footpath. But he, this is, I'm not joking here. In 1972, dwarves, gnomes, and elves, or whatever, all had electric vehicles, right? I'm telling you, this is me being honest here.
Look, this is I saw the movie Joker in 2019 with Robert De Niro, and there's Joaquin Phoenix, and he kisses the midget dwarf on the head, and he goes, "You were the only one nice to me."
He killed
Randall, you know, the 6 foot fucking six, you know, the.
Can I just interject and say I've never watched The Joker to this day. I've never seen it.
Joker 2019. Oh, you don't know what you're missing. It was awesome.
Well, you know what?
It really was. And the second one.
I've got nothing to do.
Watch it.
I might watch The Joker.
Just to say,
I waited 5 years because I
said... Forget the second one.
Oh, I'm not going to
forget
watch
the second one.
To be honest, sometimes I look at Lady Gaga and go, you are quite attractive. There's something about you. She's got that funny her nose.
Yeah.
She's got
If you find Madonna attractive.
No, I don't. I don't.
Madonna?
Madonna's dun, like, dun, a, dun, dun, like a. Dun, Madonna to me.
Material like girl.
She looks like someone who's. She's girl. Trying to look like Marilyn Monroe.
While we're talking about Rust, you know the movie Rust, Alec Baldwin shot the the trailer came out the other day.
Really?
And it looks really good. The cinematography looks really good. Because when he was, you know, pointing the gun at the camera and he didn't know apparently this. Here or there, whether he, it killed, I forget her name, but Helena something, just shot her dead. He just didn't know that was a live round.
The bullet went in her and injured someone else. There was two people that got injured.
So anyway, look, He's copped some ribbing on it, but the movie looks good. And
really,
I don't know. you think that they might just shelve that one but
yeah,
maybe he just needs the money.
Alec Baldwin.
Do you remember that Donald Trump impersonator that was giving him shit the other week? And you kind of felt sorry for Baldwin, but Baldwin doesn't deserve any sympathy. He's just out and out. For some reason, hates Trump. Look at that woman that went to Ireland. Her name's Rosie O'Donnell. Do you remember her?
Yeah, there's a code. So for the conspiracy types out there, Napoleon Wilson. Apparently, there's a code. Rose E O'Donnell, and there's a Donald Trump. Kind of, there's Donald and Rose, Rosicrucian in her name. I think there's
just deranged. It's like, you think, like, Trump, I did see friend. During the week, he's looking at Greenland, seriously.
They are seriously looking at Greenland.
But not in a sort of, we're just going to make that but just, look, it's got a whole bunch of
gold, oil.
Yeah, that's gas. The stuff you're looking at. Yeah. And it, you know.
You're
and
on the schedule.
Rick and Roller 25.
This episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of D-Train and Delicious. You can support us too. Truthmeats.com, click on the donate link. Truthmeats.com, click on the donate link.
You're listening to Rick and Rollo, episode number 25, on the 29th of March 2025.
Saturday night. How's my mic? Have I bladed out yet? I've got one spare. I got two for the price of one. Do you know how much
How much?
$29. We got two for $29.
You're spending big dollar. Spending big. Man, just remember you've got
it's nowhere near the quality of what's his name? Rick and Jolo. So we call him Jolo now, don't we? We don't call him Belisette.
Tonight.
Jolo's Mike.
He's got
who's that curly haired guy in New York? I forget his name. The curly headed guy in New York, you know, that loves himself and just said, get the jab and
curly headed guy.
In New York, the Jewish guy. Hook knows. I forget his name. It's fakeologist.
Giuliani.
The radio.
Oh, you mean, we talked about it last week, actually. Howard Stern.
Well, Velocet's mic is up there with, it's got the most compression and it's just, like, his voice is good already, but the mic he's got, I wonder how much his mic is. Like, it's the golden mic. It'd be like $1,000.
Well, actually, I think we've seen it actually on your balcony at back in the day when we did the.
We were very fortunate.
Episode three or four of the FART podcast.
Mm.
And you heard, actually, so you actually heard me with a real microphone, and my voice sounds completely different with a real proper microphone. It sounds like it.
Remember, we were all kids, and you listen back to yourself. You record it, and you go, "Oh no, I don't like the sound of that."
Then you get used to it. Rollo, I can remember listening to a tape of me and my friend, and we were talking. it sounded like this. We were talking.
Someone's on the line here.
Yeah,
who are you?
This is me. When I was there, was I found a cassette. I remember back in I was probably about 16 or 17. Back in it.
Mm.
Me and my friend, another Darren, doing funny things, recording our voices when we were 9 or 10, probably 10, or 10 or 11, whatever.
Of course.
And it sounded like this. And I'm thinking,
yeah, that's it.
I don't sound anything like this.
Because your balls hadn't dropped.
No.
To be honest, this is how most kids talk.
and we were chatting away. It was quite funny, and I was thinking, I don't remember ever. I always thought I had a deep voice, but when you listen back to yourself as a child, which I did, I had a much higher register, much higher.
Oh,
register.
Sure.
But when
John Laws's voice before his balls.
To be honest, Rollo, he also, and Joel's not in the room at the moment, but he used a lot of compression on his voice. I'm going to tell you now, I've heard him, hello, John Laws here. Da, 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 da,
that's right. When he's on FM, it's. Noticeably different. Yeah,
Ray Hadley is way higher. It's even
same.
Ray Hadley's voice sounds like this on FM,
but when you
and then on AM, AM, that's where their voices are suited.
Me and you, actually have genuine deep voices. Hello world, and we don't need to have compression. If we have compression, we become this bass. Guaranteed.
All right. What are we moving on to? We were talking about skilled engineering, and I thought one of the most amusing was there was another company that went against skilled engineering. It was EDI, and the joke of the Ginninnen joke was every defect imaginable. It was like comment. Yeah. You know, everyone has a little.
I worked as a contractor,
skilled
engineering for about 4 years.
And to we test would get the Tangara.
You would get sent. And I liked it. You know why I liked it? Because I knew I was not permanent. Wherever they sent me, it was only a finite amount of time that I was going to be there. So we did factory shutdown. And you might get sent to a job in Artarmon in North Sydney. And you might have to clean out some kind of big, on a factory, there was some kind of big mechanical thing that had some kind of gel stuff that they used for some manufacturing product. Every year they shut the factory down for 3 weeks and a team of contractors would go in there and clean the place, scrape all the machinery down, respray grease everywhere and get it ready, and then it would go back into functioning 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to get sent to factories, and I remember in my 20s going, fuck, man, I would never cope with being – because you know what happens when you work in a factory or a big organization? You become a robot. And so –
I'm a robot.
Yeah, and so you go to this job and you go there 5 days a week, 7.5 hours or 8 hours a day for the rest of your life, for 40 years.
You're talking about 95% of
the public.
90 to 98% Yeah, public. It's not like where you rock up to work and you're Alan Jones and you go, hello, and then you walk and you never know what you've got. Yeah. Well, it's just the absolute dream job.
I honestly recall going into it was a paint company, Dulux Paint, or it was ICI, became Dulux, and going and sitting in the smoko room, because we were only there for 3 days to do some particular job, and I walked in and I went to sit down, and this guy's going, mate, you can't sit there, that's Kevo's chair!
Because he's worked there for
50 years, and every day he comes and he sits down. But I said, well, Kevo's not here. No, mate, you can't sit there. You got to sit down. They were all conditioned like prison. And one of these guys, Walker had been working there since 1949.
It's like you're working the wharves.
Yeah.
Do you remember where they try to split the wharves up? Patrick Stevedores.
Big fault.
And
big
John mess. Howard. And then there was that ship that no one would touch around the world.
Yeah.
No, it was Scab. It was a Scab chip.
I was around those days.
I tell you something funny that I saw the other day. Parramatta Eels, right? Guess who's their front sponsor again now? Hardy, James Hardy.
Really? The asbestos? No, asbestos.
So they obviously, everyone's forgot about it. So they've got Hardy back on.
You know what they did? One of the jobs was skilled engineering. Funny you should mention James Hardy, Rollo.
I got sent
to a factory in Port Botany.
Uh-huh.
Where it was completely covered in asbestos, guaranteed, he says, coughing. But my son, my son and daughter.
I don't think you've got asbestosis. I think you'll be all right.
If I didn't hear my own 20-year-old and 22-year-old coughing the same way, I'd be concerned. I had to go into James Hardy, which, you know, where they were making compressed fibro sheeting, with a jackhammer and chisel up all this area because they brought in contractors from skilled engineering because we were contractors, which meant you're not a proper employee and that if something went wrong with you, they just, you're not,
yeah.
The company doesn't care about you. You're just a contractor. And James Hardy did is they closed down shop because they knew they caused a lot of people to get asbestosis because of the white and blue asbestos.
And the New South Wales government let them jump ship to the Netherlands.
They moved to the Netherlands. And just, one could get
that's Bob Carr for you.
Raving.
My father, when my father met him, he just said,
old
and
homie.
Bob Carr, like, you know, about the Tangara. And then he goes, so what dirty you got on, like, he didn't give a fuck about the train or anything like that. All he wanted, he was just, you know, one of those politicians. And then he went straight to federal, and then he became a foreign minister. He's just ugly on the outside, ugly on the inside.
And the inside, yeah. And this is what he said. He goes, because I used to always joke about him. I said, this guy is an opportunist, Bob Carr.
Opportunist.
So what he'd do, he'd listen to talkback radio, and one day there was a guy rang up the John Laws show, I kid you not, and said, or Alan Jones, one of the two, and said, Alan, he goes, they just built that giant Glebe Island Bridge, the Anzac, well, it was called the Glebe Island Bridge.
Yeah.
Right? And this guy...
Yeah, that's suspension, goes, that suspension bridge, bridge out suspension there near bridge. Balmain.
You're just straight outside, exactly. And so this guy, a caller rang up on the radio, and said, well, he goes, those two big structures on either side look like giant A's, Alan or John. He goes, they should call it the Anzac Bridge and put a statue of a big Anzac soldier on each end. And 4 minutes later, there was a call. Lulz goes, hang on, I've got the Premier on the line. 1 second.
Yeah.
Who have I got here? You know what he does.
Back when he'd say hello.
He'd go hello. And get this, and I'm going to give this verbatim.
Oh, Bob Carr, how are you?
He goes, John, this is Bob Carr. Always had a really deep, put on deep voice to mask his homosexuality. Why not? He goes, John, I just was listening to one of your callers before, and he goes, you know what? I'm going to call it the Anzac Bridge. So next week, we will have the Anzac Bridge in a year's time. And I went, this cunt is just fucking being listening to a radio station. And all these people go, oh, did you hear Bob Carr?
And you know that Lawsy's producers will probably have called his office and said. Back in the day, what was the name? Liz Jackson, right? That's why he called me a blockheaded bastard. I said, no, mate. You changed ever since that Chappelle Corby fiasco. You know that one?
Yeah, another one.
Yeah, and that lawyer would not play ball. Lawsy goes, hello.
Hello.
And Chappelle Corby's lawyer went, hello. And then Lawsy goes, who's this? And he goes,
John, you know you rang me.
He goes, you rang me. It was so uncomfortable. And I don't know why Lawsy let it go, but it went for like 2 or 3 minutes where he goes, and then finally you know, it went like, well, you called me. You go, I called exactly. you.
He knew that his producers had rang.
And he never did it again after that. And you know, I actually really enjoyed the fakeness. No, Liz Jackson did, not me.
But you reminded him of
it. Oh, yeah, big time. That's why he called me a blockheaded bastard. I said, yes, you did.
Yes, you did. No, you're 100% correct,
Rollo. Once you're comfortable with him.
I used to get so annoyed about people that used to say, oh, no, Bob's a good bloke. You know, he's a man of the people. I said, this guy's a fucking... I'll tell you this. I was doing a.
It seems a lot easier when you're when you want to go toe to toe. Certainly, when you've got like you know, he's got every advantage, so he can sort of press just a button and make you look like an idiot, like you know where
which is what they talk. Did. Which is yeah, what they and did. Then and so you
every trick in the book.
You've got your point across, and you're yeah. and he's actually switched you down. And he's playing yep.
a
Bruce Springsteen yeah. song. And you, while you're on hold with a 5 second delay or 10 second delay, you yeah. think you actually got it over him. He's actually fucked you off.
I loved it. It's a good technique. Because when I worked at 101.3, 2 Bob FM, Tari, I kind of learned that sort of, you know, on Midnight Till Dawn. You know, it was a classic, you know. I love Midnight Till Dawn. You know, with
last night, yep. I was talking to Joel.
Joel, yeah.
About this last week. I've got the station at Gosford now. And they yes. shout me out and play me music as I'm driving home. And last Good night, on. I thought, I'm going to ring them up. Because what they're doing, Rollo, you're going to love this.
2GO? 2G?
It's called... It's called... It's called 96.
My friends used to live next door to the station. Yeah.
It's called, I'm going to tell you right now, and get this, you'll like this conversation when
sure.
It's called...
Have you got it recorded?
Coast FM. I should have recorded. So anyway, last night I thought, I've got to ring, because what they're doing, get this one, there's two guys, Steve and Grant, have got a show, they're about same age as us, or, you know, within a few years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their show comes on at 11 o'clock at night and they've decided to play comedy music. And guess what they're playing? Old clips of Doug Mulray and Cheech and Chong. But the Doug Mulray stuff, I said, this is not even on YouTube. No,
Gloria.
No, it's old. It's they've got old Doug
double
Mulray
J.
sketches.
Double yeah. J stuff.
And so
before
these
he
guys,
went to Triple J. Yeah.
Yeah, they've got clips of Doug Mulray doing these really funny routines, plus they play Cheech and Chong from the
before he hooked
album.
Up with Denton way when before, him and way, Denton way yeah made him so, yeah, he was a lot more what do you call it I was a lot rude for his Double J days I got him when he hit Triple M.
Rollo, I rang up to say thank you to the two guys that I normally speak to, and a chick answered the phone. Yep. And I said, okay. She said, oh, look, oh, they're too busy to talk. But I said, listen, just tell them that keep playing Doug Mulray, keep playing Cheech and Chong, because no one else is doing those stuff at the moment. This is really good. And plus they play AC/DC and all this other stuff.
Awesome.
Anyway, I said, you're not the chick that used to host the show, are you? Because and she goes, yeah, I'm. She goes, her name's Delby or Dolby or something or other.
Okay.
And she produces for them. She's about the same age as us. I think she's late 50s.
Yeah.
She fucking knows her music. And she goes, oh, no, I love all the stuff and I play. She goes,
she just sits in the background
I talked to her for fucking half an hour minimum last night. Just about all the music they're playing. And she's like off the top of her head saying, oh, yes, you know, she loves, you know, old radio, the way that it's in the media and you're actually talking to people live. Like podcasts are good, but you're not talking to, apart from tonight, unless you're streaming.
You're old radio.
When you're listening to the radio live,
yes,
and the announcer comes on and says, hey, Rick, I hope you're going well. Here's a song for you. You know that you're not that's bang. It's in the moment. It's live. And it's exhilarating because you go, someone's talking to me. Talking to me exactly when I asked them to talk to me. Or I could ring John Laws up, which I did on his last couple of shows. And I talked to him as I was driving.
Yeah, and he played, I heard you.
Yeah, and he played that. Joel's got it. He'll be out there.
Anyway. The women in the summer clothes or something.
Women in summer clothes.
He's got some. That's a Sony dig. He's got. Uh-huh. It's a good song. Is that name?
It's Bruce Springsteen. Springsteen.
I thought it was the other guy. You know, don't stop the dance. Roxy Music. What was his name?
Brian
Ferry. Bruce Springsteen, is it? Yeah.
But anyway, this is what we're missing out and we're losing is that when all these stations disappear, except for community stations, and that's what I'm talking about, this is a local. All these guys are doing it. These guys are in there doing it for nothing. That you're listening to.
Rick and Roller.
No matter what you're in, you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Got Rick and Rollo, 25 Saturday night. The 29th of March, 2025. It's pretty funny because it's Rick and Rollo 2025. It is 2025, and it's Rick and Rollo, or Rollo and Rick.
Episode.
No, it's not. No, Rick Roll 25. Are you there?
My wife is going to be so mad. My wife is going to be so mad.
The greatest joke of all time.
This might be the greatest joke of all time.
So this guy's working in the grocery store.
In the produce department.
All right. Stop. There's something gone wrong. We'll do a take two. There was the echoing. There was something wrong there. I don't want the joke to be spoiled. Well, look, there's nothing against you.
If I tell this joke,
Jolo,
my wife is going to be so mad at me. My wife is going to be so mad.
This might be the greatest joke of all time.
Cut.
It's okay. What's happening here? Let's try again. I don't want the joke to be spoiled because it is very funny. Mr. Grumpy.
Might be.
All right.
That's weird.
And then we'll turn it up too, because it was a little bit low too as well. No, I mean, we've got a new setup, our super duper producer with a Medusa.
He's tricked it.
He's tricked the system.
If I tell this joke,
with my new,
my wife is going to be so mad at me.
This might be the greatest joke of all time.
So this guy's working in the produce department at the grocery store, and a lady walks up and she says, "Excuse me." He says, "Yes." She says, "Where's the broccoli? I can't find the broccoli." He said, "Oh, I'm really sorry, ma'am." He says, "We ran out of broccoli. We'll have some tomorrow morning." And he goes back to his work, and he's stacking the oranges, and he hears behind me, Mister. And he turns around, and it's the same lady. She says, where's the broccoli? You got any broccoli? He says, no, ma'am. We're fresh out of broccoli. We'll have some tomorrow morning. Goes back to work. A couple of minutes later, this woman walks right up in his face, and she says, how come I can't find any broccoli? He says, lady, he says, do me a favor, will you? She said, what? He says, how do you spell, indulge me, how do you spell cat? He says, like in catastrophic. She says, C-A-T. He says, how do you spell dog? Like in dogmatic. She says, D-O-G. He says, how do you spell like in broccoli? She says, there is no f***ing broccoli. He says, that's what I'm trying to tell you, lady.
That's good.
There is no broccoli.
When did he do that joke? That's really funny.
He did that, I think, on one of the a late night. That's why you had the bleeps. I would have preferred
no
it without the bleeps.
There's no fucking broccoli.
There's no fucking broccoli. Yeah, I mean, he told it so well, you know. And he said that on late night. I think it was one of those Jimmy Fallon.
That's really funny. It wouldn't be Jimmy Fallon, but it's definitely funny, though.
It would have been nice if he said it to who was my favorite late night guy before Letterman. It was the guy that wore the checkered shirt.
Carson.
Jimmy Carson. Yeah, and then you liked the other one. Like, what was his name? Dick something.
Dick Cavett.
He got even better.
Dick Cavett was the best, I think, because he actually had
he was totally
natural conversation. Like, there's Dick Cavett talking to Jimi Hendrix, David Bowie, you know, really heavyweight identities of cultural.
He let them talk and wouldn't. He let them. He wouldn't talk, be like a Michael Parkinson. Michael Parkinson was a bit boring. Let's face it. I mean,
oh yeah, no, there's no comparison.
Parky got the.
Dick Cavett would actually liaise with their conversation and then bring up other things, and they
exactly
allow.
So what? Now, whatever you were told, it didn't mean like just read the next question. To what you were told and then sort of.
They were talking to an equal, like they knew that he knew stuff and so you can just go onto YouTube.
Do you remember when Oliver Reed, was it on Dick Cavett?
Yes.
When he came out when he was drunk, or was that with Parkinson.
and almost everyone else and Carr, like.
I wonder if
Oliver Reed.
It doesn't work well on audio.
It only works well on visual with Oliver Reed.
Where he's swaying around, going like,
it's not funny to listen to.
You remember you guys were talking about Elle McPheast. Remember when? What was his name? The guy down in Tasmania, the chopper, Mark Chopper Reed. Remember, and they let him in the green room for like an hour or something, and he drank 24 beers in an hour before they brought him out on stage. She's trying to deal with him. He's talking about killing people, stuffing them in bloody cement mixes or whatnot.
Yeah.
I'm starting
to doubt everything about him because when I tied him with
Stuart Littlemore was there all, you know, going, well, how about, how terrible is this? I'm going, I was laughing myself. It was like when Normie Rowe and fucking Ron Casey started punching on in front of Ray Martin in the midday show.
That's real. I believe that, but I think
he goes, I don't know what they were talking about.
No, they were talking about Vietnam because Normie Rowe was.
Yeah, Vietnam or something.
Normie Rowe being recruited into Vietnam, but that was natural.
Rowe pushes him down, and Casey comes straight up and hits him right on flush on the jaw. It was classic.
But what I'm saying is, I think Chopper Reeds is a manufactured bad guy.
When he did that thing on 60 Minutes, you know, where he did that Russian roulette with that woman, it had to be fake because I want to see one continuous shot and just keep clicking until the bullet goes off.
But I think having hung around back in the 80s and 90s with some serious bad guys, Chopper Reed never came up as being a guy that they never mentioned. They said he's a joke, or he was a police.
Well, yeah, We had police. Yeah, we had Roger Rogerson and we had some real criminals. And it was all mixed up.
And I swear to God, Roger Rogerson. Yeah. I had his first book, which you cannot buy for love nor money, or unless you find a second-hand shop, where he bragged.
If your last name was Rogerson, why would you call your kid Roger? Roger Rogerson. It's like Christopherson.
Roger Rogerson, in his book, his very first book, he was one of the most. He wanted to join the police force. So he joined the police force and he thought, I want to move up and become a detective. So he became a Mason 2 years before he applied to become a detective. And he brags about that you're not going to go anywhere in the police unless you're a Mason in this book. Now that book is scrubbed, gone, forgot it. And he's gone as well. You cannot buy it, but he bragged about how important it was to become a Mason if you wanted to move up the ranks of the police. And that just proves the lower part of the gang, lower part of the world gang network out there are the Masons, because they're just like the different levels of controlling the street crime, turning off when you want to make an area bad so that no one wants to live there anymore. You've got the police are totally in control and they can switch off their patrols, which is what they're doing here regional areas, switching off their patrols.
I found that fascinating. Yeah. I was more interested in the opposite, the gang, the Comancheros,
that's the lowest level.
But they were the ones that sort of interested me because, you got my back, I got yours and whatnot. It's not a secret handshake or whatever.
It's like in America, they've got the Teamsters and they're controlled by the... So they're just...
What happened to Jimmy Hoffa?
Exactly. But
did he break the rule?
Probably did. And he's probably a footing in some big building now filled up with concrete. you got different levels of control. So Alan Jones is a classic example of how to control your middle class. Have a guy arrested, set up, arrested for his peccadilloes, which was homosexuality,
of course.
Then he's in control by the media, and the media made sure that he only said things that they wanted to be.
Tell me, if you weren't half baked, that you didn't know that the guy was
obviously
a Nancy boy.
Anyone that wasn't
a nonce though. He wasn't a paedophile or anything like that.
I don't think so.
But, Jimmy Savile, it's just amazing what he got away with.
Well, yeah.
It's just amazing. There he is with Prince Charles.
Prince, the Queen's husband, Phil the Greek. He was not Greek. He was pretending to be Greek. His family got moved from Germany to Greece and they set up their ship over there. All part of this whole Venetian black nobility guarantee.
Yeah, sure.
Why
didn't they kill they didn't kill the redhead? Because he's doing a good job with that silly woman. Harry.
I think that's just part of the plot to destroy this whole royal thing. The whole royal thing's got to go for the new world order. You can't have it. And so Prince Harry is clearly not
Klaus. Klaus is in retirement, but who's taken over from Klaus? I forgot. Did they bring that 2IC up to
run? I think the 2IC is going to be Tony B. Liar.
Oh, they're going to give it to that new Tony. What's the name?
Tony B. Liar. Tony Blair.
Oh, I thought they might give it to your
She's on the running.
Yeah,
she's in the running for sure. And
big time.
So
I forget her. Yeah, Jacinda Ardern.
So she's now lecturing at Harvard University.
Sure.
So all we're looking at, if we're looking at as a...
Where did Gladys Berejiklian, is she in the WS now?
No. She's still possibly going to come back as a... Well, she's trying to run for a liberal...
What about that piece of shit down in Melbourne? You know, that really nasty...
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anybody wants to go anywhere near him. Forget his name.
But he got a job. He got exonerated, and he's got a job in there. So in the future, you might see... What's his name? Why can't we remember his name?
Yeah, yeah. Let me look. Fucking, he was a sort of Hitler type.
The guy that got bashed.
Dan Andrews. There you go.
I couldn't remember his name. I was talking to Melissa Watt, and she was trying to say,
"Oh yeah,
bring up Dan Andrews." And I couldn't remember his name on that interview, but it was Dan Andrews.
Where they were. Shooting rubber bullets and remember RV Yemeni and that? And Yemeni, they were down Yemeni, there getting, Yemeni. They were getting smashed with like pepper spray.
Let's just say this, Rebel News, I'll just say this,
I don't have a problem with him. I know he's Israeli. I know he's Jewish. He's an Israeli. He's just as much an operative as, who's that one in Snow White? Gal Gadot.
Yeah.
They have two years.
Yemeni became this kind of hero to the COVID rebels out there, and Rebel is angel. There's a whole the fact they're using Rebel. It's very much weaponized, and RV Yemeni, untrustworthy, shifty little.
Just because he wears a yarmulke and he's look. She, like, why is she the beautiful Gal Gadot, you know, with that awful song? Let's sing it again. Let's imagine ask. Hey, now we've got. Come on, we've got our best producer in the world. Come on, let's cringe together. Imagine there's no heaven. Come on, find Gal Gadot and Gal Gadot and her friends singing that.
Yeah, but it's cringy. But we don't need to play it. But
We
talked about it last week. No, we don't. No, we don't want to hear it here. Well, it's not that bad, but compared to what Dan Andrews and Kerry did to their own people.
Yeah.
Kerry Chan, who's clearly not female. There's no way Kerry Chan is a female. The jaw, the face, eyes.
Or Karen Borg.
Karen Borg,
who took me to court.
She did.
Yeah.
How many times?
You bet your ass you did.
How many times did you ring Karen Borg? 150 times?
A few times, yeah.
So what?
They said the COVID hotline is open to be run. Abused. And I just rang over and I rang over and I rang over again. And she worked, Karen Borg worked for...
Johnson and Johnson. We found it
on LinkedIn.
Yep.
And she was into human sterilization.
Yep.
Yeah, she is a disgusting, a disgraceful, and I'll never stop saying that. Karen Borg. The Borg, you know, like off Star Trek.
Star Trek.
You know, I will bring you into the Borg. You know, as a sort of like, you know, the human. No, it was a disgrace, that period.
The Borg were a group think, and this is what's happening with. And so I'll bring this up again. My son keeps bringing up this particular very interesting thing. Everywhere he goes at university on the campus in Melbourne.
Mm.
Are the Marxists recruiting, the Marxist recruitment of young people that are in. Even my brother, as far as I'm concerned, he's become very Marxist, but he spent the last 4 years doing his masters of whatever he did. So the Marxists are there at the universities recruiting to get people into this. It's the old white people that are ruining our lives. We don't want to work. Everyone should have their own properties for free. And so he keeps saying, Dad, there's Marxists everywhere. And as my advice was, just tell him that you're a Scientologist. Oh. You're already part of a cult. You don't need to join another one.
Yeah, a bit like that. Well, look at China. Look at China. It's just it's socialism turns into communism before you know it. You know, you need a pass to go anywhere, and you're squealing on your neighbour. Yeah.
Communism, they say, is socialism in a hurry. Communism is socialism in a hurry. Slow way of getting taken
just
over
what
your life.
Black Mirror. I forget his name again.
You said it last time.
That a few minutes. Anyway, it's.
So you haven't sold your house, Rollo? We're just going to go into the...
Not yet. It's not on the market. It's not quite on the market yet. So we are still in capitalism. But, yeah. Man. I can't think of his name. I have to look it up.
Just look up...
I swear. Black Mirror. Black Mirror, yeah.
Look up Black Mirror director or writer.
Yeah. The writer, is... Yeah. But the second I do it... You know, I'll.
You're listening to.
Here we go. Off to the break. Rick and Roller. 25.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
The art of conversation.
Charlie.
Sorry. Cooper.
Charlie came out of the break pretty rubbish. Saturday, 29th of March, 2025, Rick and Roller, 25. Charlie Brooker. The very first episode where the British Prime Minister.
Episode? What's your favourite episode?
Yeah, well, the very first one where the British Prime Minister had to fuck a pig. Live on TV.
And that actually happened with what's his name? The third last Prime Minister of Britain, or was it the fourth last?
Okay.
He got caught. They brought up the fact that he was at some university stag night or whatever, and he had to stick his cock in a pig's mouth or something or other.
Yep.
Or whatever. And he would have done that. That would be a thing. This is the kind of thing these weirdos fucking get into.
What's my favourite episode? My favourite episode. Oh, I swear
Can I tell you the only episode I've ever watched of Black Mirror is Metalhead. Metalhead.
Yeah, that's the one with the metal dogs.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in black and white.
It's a good show.
That's a really good one where that one dog. It's like a Terminator type. Thing.
Yeah, exactly the same. Terminator.
Yeah, where they break into a warehouse, and then it brings this thing to life, and it will not stop.
People need to understand that all of that footage that you see of that particular company, forget the name of them, it's all fake footage of these robots because they don't need that. They just need to have drones which are already out there and already ready to. And they just hover. They don't need to go up. They don't need to walk upstairs. They don't need to open locks. These things can just turn up with a 50-cal rotating machine gun underneath them and blow things to pieces. And they could be sent 50 of these drones with like the Predator drone or there's bigger drones than Predator drones. These things are already a thing. And I guess the two countries that manufacture them and send them to most countries, China and Israel.
Yeah.
So you should.
I knew the second one. Israel. They always claim to be victims. That's the thing. They're not victims. When the British created the state of Israel, it's not a country, it's a state.
I'll just have to reiterate my own total exclusive, and I've never heard anyone go on about those. The guy that founded Israel.
Do it, take two. You cut out.
The guy that. Take two. Isn't it weird that we're about to say something like this?
Yeah. You cut. Yeah.
The guy that founded Israel is in his own Wikipedia is named as a Jesuit spy from Armenia, Joe Hockey's great-great-grandfather. And he was the guy that helped found modern Israel after using Aussies and Kiwis that went in there to kick the Turks out of whatever the area was. But that was,
when are they going to make Lebanon like it was before there was Israel? Lebanon was this beautiful.
It's going to go back if Donald Trump has his way. It's going to become another great resort. Beautiful
that was
resort.
Funny, wasn't it? That was funny, wasn't
Gaza,
it?
The Gaza one.
Look, let's talk about that, by the way. So Donald Trump, I think, is he playing the long game when it comes to RFK Jr.?
Rollo, to be honest, Donald Trump has been brought in to fast forward the agenda. And he is fast forwarding the agenda. And
no, I'm not talking about Greenland here. I'm just still talking about,
Well, you got Greenland, which is going on.
The CDC appointee. Now let's look her up. Let's go to. Let me just, if you don't mind, give me a moment.
I don't mind. I've got no problem.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Did you know that? The reason we haven't been poached by Ab hasn't come in here to drag us.
Why?
Because I think he's been banned off the truthmeets.com still to this day. So I agree that if Rick and Rollo are doing a show, it's better to have Rick and Rollo having a conversation.
All right.
Because it's two drunk guys or drinking guys in Australia having a conversation which will bounce off each other continuously.
I spoke to you about 1 o'clock or two o'clock in the afternoon, you said
you're too drunk.
Yeah, wait, is that a word? Sober.
It
sounds awesome to me. Yeah, sober.
Well, you sound sober.
Let me look that up.
Than you were. Now you rang me at 10 o'clock this morning when I was in bed.
Well, I'd had three bottles of champagne, or what do you call it, sparkling wine. You're not allowed to call it champagne anymore.
Really?
In Australia.
Is that it?
And we'd watched Reacher, the last episode of Reacher last night, and we were just flying, you know, because it was so good. Mm. It was so good. Jeff Bezos,
he's as soberer as a judgerer.
Hello.
Hello.
G'day, g'day. Now this is Rick and Jolie.
Jolo.
I want to come in and crash your show because I do agree that it's the Rick and Rollo show, and I know that it works well that way.
That's a good.
I did just want to comment on the Ab thing because he's continued to put references in his server tagging me saying I'm a tyrant. Yeah. You know, I think it's just trying to get a rise out of me, obviously, because it's a bit over the top to keep saying that. But it came, the reason he got banned is because I'd warned him I would ban him. Like it wasn't out of nowhere. He'd come several weeks in a row. And he comes here and talks for 20 minutes and then goes, okay, so let's everyone go to Fakeologist. And for some reason, half the people just listen and do exactly what he says. Mm. And I said, just don't come to my platform and do that. And he did it again for a third Saturday. So I said, well, fine. I warned you I would ban you if you keep doing that, trying to steal the show for what that's happening here. Ooh. Like if people want to go over there on their own time, that's fine. But don't come and tell everyone to leave here. Yeah. That's rude.
Yeah, that's true. I agree, but I actually think I've always thought that when Rick and Rollo are having a conversation, which literally goes all over the place because we're both at the same time with 2 hours of each other, we're both having a beer, at the same time. If someone comes on there that's completely sober at 4:30 in the morning, it's going to destroy that role, that conversation, because they're
the
not
Rick, in the Rick vibe. Role. The Rick and Roll. How's my mic sounding there, Jola? No, I'm asking Jola.
It sounds good. It doesn't have the same crunch quality that your other one had, but I like this. How much did that headset cost you?
Oh, you want the crunch quality.
How much did that headset cost you, Rollo?
$29
for two.
Okay. For two, okay. It's probably like about time. That last set was already like a $5 Chinese set, and then it had been smashed to bits, cello taped together with all your head grease over it. Yeah. I mean,
I think Rick said it had been down the toilet. Yours, on the other hand, you sound like Howard Stern. You're compressed.
He's got a proper mic. Right.
I'm actually using my wood grain one.
Us amateurs.
I sent my gold one away to a friend who wanted to borrow it for to tell the story for a little while. He'll be doing some Teams meetings at his work, and he works in radio, obviously. So he wanted, since he'll be on camera doing meetings, he wanted to borrow the gold one to use. I'll let him borrow it for a few months.
Well, I think Rollo, when you sell your property, if you do get $1 million, you want to
$1.2 million.
If you do get
I'm not taking a penny less than 1.1.
Okay.
Let me thank
1.2, but not a penny less than 1.1. Well, then it's 1.1 then, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. for that Harrison Ford gag. I just wish they didn't bleep the.
I bet they bleeped it on the show too. It was like, what show was that? Like Kimmel or something. They probably bleeped it then, and then he would have walked off stage and gone, fuck, it ruins the whole joke if you
There's
bleep.
No clean. There. Trust me.
It was good, though, it did.
It ruined it. I wanted a clean. It would have been better for the clean version. But you got the gist of it. Like, there is no fucking broccoli. and he told it so well, you know. He just my wife Calista Flockhart, you know, Allie McBeal.
They're still married. That was a really, really big show back in the day. Allie McBeal, and the other one was what's the name?
They had toilets, you know, that were male and female. They didn't have separate toilets. Do you remember? That was the thing that sort of sticks to my mind. They were a lawyer firm, but their toilets were male and female. That would go to toilet together. Whereas, you know, normally there's male toilets.
We all go to the toilet, but we don't go to the toilet.
In 2000.
No, we don't.
In about 1999 or 2000, nightclubs in Sydney all of a sudden introduced this thing that it was like at the Civic, which I haunted hugely for a few years. They had a great big toilet block, and it was all male female. It was like you just went in there, and therefore there was lots of wild. Some wild shenanigans going on.
I bet. My favorite toilet story is when I was shooting my pants in a David Jones, and there's poo, like literally, like I think yeah coming in, and I rushed into the bathroom and I finally sat down and. Released. Evacuated. Yeah. And
there's no other store like David Jones.
I'm there going, Exactly. And then I'm there going, and then I hear clip, clop, clip, clop, clip, clop. And then I think, I don't remember seeing any urinals. It's just
you're in the male. You're in the woman's toilet.
I'm in the female bathroom. Toilet. Yeah, and clip, clop, and the woman comes into the stall next to me, shitting and farting. I know. They're going, how the fuck am I going to get out of here? And I went, how am I going to get? So I go, all right, I'm going to have to, all right. I'm all, you know, sort of happy, and I, you know, and I try release, and get it. And of course, the second I open the door, there's like, you know, two or three women right there. And they're looking at, you know, they give me the death stare, like, what are you doing in the,
This is where we come to fart. And you've discovered.
And I go, I'm so sorry. I'm not a creep. I'm not a creep or anything like that.
I've just had to.
And I hurried away. And then.
Get this.
Because I was so in such fear, I forgot to wipe. So I got nappy rash.
At least you flushed. I know.
That's my worst
toilet. I remember a friend of mine telling the story. They all pulled up to a nightclub to go to a nightclub in Oxford Street back in the day. And that was the gay area, but these guys were certainly not
anything like that.
And one of them was off his head. He was tripping, and he's desperate to go to the toilet. And there was an old lady standing at the front of her house, and he said, can I please borrow your toilet? And she said, yeah, and let him go in there. And he went in there and went to the, you know, defecated everywhere. And he got out, and about an hour later, he said, you know what? He goes, I think I forgot to flush. He was on this, and he'd gone into this lady's toilet, borrowed it off the side road near the whatever nightclub it was. And it didn't occur to him after, because he was tripping off his head. But he suddenly occurred that he might not have pressed the flush button, and this poor old lady would have walked into her own toilet.
Yeah.
God knows what was in there.
My brother would do that all the time because he didn't want to wake everyone up at 3 a.m. I'd rather be woken up than go into the see his fucking turd at 7 o'clock. Yeah.
Or his breakfast and lunch from the last few days.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I'd much rather.
Well, again, if only Elvis had taken a little, you know, that, what's that, coconut water? If you drink that stuff, have you seen Castaway, the movie Castaway with Tom Hanks?
Not a big fan.
If Elvis Presley, we'd still have Elvis with us right now. All he needed, and like he was, how rich was he? Like all you need is to drink coconut water. It just cleans you out.
Yes.
It's just, if you are stodged up, just do it. And you might have to dig around in there sometimes. I know I remember when I was on the hay plane and I was stodged up and like it wouldn't come out. It's like giving birth. I swear to God. Yeah, you had to dig around in there to get this bloody, it's like a comet up there. Yeah, and there's blood and everything, you know, you're digging around. And once you get it out, the sense of relief is awesome. Elvis had four fucking, when they did the autopsy on him, 4 months worth of crap sitting in his intestines. That's why he ballooned right at the end before he died in 77. Yeah. Just needed someone to fucking talk some sense. If you could go back in time, I would, because my mother loved the guy.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, let's play an Elvis song, Jolo. What's our favorite Elvis song? What's your favorite? A little bit more conversation, a little bit more. Do you like that one? The remix? The little bit more conversation, a little bit more action.
Do we have to?
Do you remember that one? Goes dun dun dun.
Are you talking about Junk? I think it's Junkie XL, and I think you should keep the songs till the end of the show.
Yeah, can you play that? Let's have a little bit of that. I need to go to the bathroom myself. I'll be right back.
I'll give you 30 seconds. Let me find it though.
Yeah. 2, 4.
It
six,
is Junkie eight. XL. I was right.
Yeah, 100%.
I skipped the full fidelity bit.
Yep. Are you still in the room? They're not bad song. I'm not a big fan of that song, to be quite honest. Rick and Rollo.
Oh, yeah. Do we play it? Did we play it?
Yes, we did.
A little bit. Conversation? A little bit. Oh, look. My mother loves Elvis. Oh, my goodness. That song, a little bit of conversation. So good. So good. It hurts. My other one was... Are you lonesome so tonight?
We only played a little bit, so you're not having a little more conversation.
Oh, here we go.
Y'all, let's
roll it.
This episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of D-Train and Delicious. You can support us too at truthmeats.com. Click on the donate link.
Yes, Rollo, we did play it, but I only did a short version, so you can't have a little more conversation. This is 29th of March 2025, Rick and Rollo show with Rick and Rollo.
Fantastic. And with the producer of the Medusa, the great Joel.
No, the super duper producer with the Medusa. Yeah.
Rick and Rollo with Joel on production. And we're playing, it was fantastic.
Yeah,
and we're talking about whatever the fuck we want to talk about. And
we are. All over the place. Okay.
All over the place as usual. But why not?
I'm just trying to look through my notes. So Jeff Bezos, we already talked about him. We've already talked about Redka. The sticky. Yes, right. I tell you what, Jeff. No, okay. Someone says I can buy a house for $150,000 in Thailand, so yes. I should go and move over there. Mm-hmm. I think that was D-Train saying, just go and buy a house over there when I sell my place.
That's really cheap, but I don't think so. I got friends. On you know, Facebook people, older.
I can't speak Thai. Can you speak Thai?
No, they
get pissed off if you do that.
No, I've got a friend that you know, Aussie, you know, retired. You know, I think he'd be 70 something or other or whatever.
Sure,
nice guy. They bought an apartment. Waterfront apartment and this beautiful block with you know, hot and cold running whatever. I think it cost them $900,000 for this really upmarket. Look, something that would cost you know well over $1.5 million over here. It's like
I don't know what to do when I. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off there, but
it's all good.
Gene Hackman, again, let's go back to him. Like, I'm just going to go through the rest of my list before I bugger off. Extreme Measures. Does anyone remember that movie? With Hugh Grant?
Yeah.
And Sarah. Yeah, he was this wicked doctor. I swear to God, who was that woman in that New York, that Sex in the City. What was the really?
Yeah, her with the big.
She was supposed to be beautiful, but
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, Sarah Jessica Parker. Yeah. Did you ever find her attractive?
No, not whatsoever. And can I just say this? I actually thought that the co-stars on that show looked like they were dead. One in particular. She actually looks like she was dead, and she actually wasn't even alive.
Well, I thought Jennifer Aniston was the prettiest one, but people are saying that she's a man.
No.
Oh, she's got a friend. Am I thinking of Friends?
Friends is a different show to the one.
Oh, sorry, my bad. Oh, who's the one that played the Barbie doll?
Barbie doll?
In Sex in the City, I think. Her name was. She played. There was in the 80s. She was a doll or something with Kevin something. Honestly. Yeah. I know. I know it's awful, isn't it? When you lose your mind. I haven't done a bump or anything. No. Do you remember? Have you ever done a bump and just gone. Where the hell am I?
A bump.
You know, a big
So many times,
but in the wrong situation,
it would make me chat more. I'd be chatting away more. Yeah, exactly.
There you go. I think that's actually me doing a bump.
It was you. It could have been.
Yeah. Well, I was given a little bit too much money what's the drug of choice these days? Is fentanyl? What the hell is that?
So they say. I don't know about that. I think the drug of
crystal meth.
I think meth and coke are the biggest things in Sydney.
Yeah,
yeah, and speed.
That's a nightmare. It's nightmare fuel, isn't it?
I don't know. I think. It's
What's the worst? Is it heroin? Like when you.
Well, you've had heroin before. I've never
one or two times, and this is 30 years ago, just to test. What's everyone talking about? You know that warm fuzzy feeling. Yeah.
Apparently, I actually was with a guy having a drink with a friend of mine.
Mm.
Crazy fucking. Mm. Like, if you think you're mad, Rollo. I know more mad people than you. More mad people than you. And a guy contacted me I hadn't seen for ages. He used to shoot speed. Blah 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 blah.
Oh yeah, sure.
And he's moving to the Philippines, and he told me the story, and I thought, oh, that's good because maybe he's got something decent happening over there. No, he's actually got involved somehow online with a woman.
Okay.
When he went over there. Not only has this woman got three children, she's still got a husband attached to her. And he slept with her on some island. And apparently the next day he woke up and there's a group of people at the front going, you go to jail. You know, you're my wife. I love my wife. You're to jail. I get you. Oh. I call the police. And, in the Philippines, it's very, very, very Catholic. It's almost Old Testament Catholic over there. And it's
adult. I thought you were going to say he was going to wake up in a bath of ice and lost a kidney or something, but.
No. He woke up with a husband screaming abuse, the husband of this woman. And I said to the.
So he thought she was single. He thought she was single.
He knew. I think he knew.
Sing it up. Yep.
Oh, my God. Honestly, this is fucking driving me mental. But it goes away if I stop drinking. So there you go.
Okay.
He
stop drinking.
He woke up. No, it's because I've got ice. I'm drinking cold icy beer, and it's obviously causing me to cough.
Stop.
Yeah, don't stop.
Drinking it up tomorrow. All right, keep going.
Yeah. So he's told me that he had to escape from this property across a rice paddy or whatever the.
Wow. Now we're talking.
The story he was telling me makes all of you go out the window. And I was like, sitting there listening to him going, I said, listen, are you fucking mental? And he goes, I just like living and I'm having a good time. And I said, Listen,
That's fish out of water stuff. So you don't know where you are.
He slept with some woman who's got three children and a husband, and the husband's found out that she's sleeping with him. He's pulled up with his friends on a motorbike out the front, screaming out that the police are on their way. He's going to jail for 20 years, which would probably be adultery over there. You're not going to get stoned to death.
Just to get your end away. It's not like
exactly
drugs or anything.
I said, you stupid fucking spastic. This is how I talk to people. I told him exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
I said, you stupid fucking spastic. Then he explained to me he's also, at the same time, had another girl from the Philippines contact him via Facebook who he felt sorry for, and she's doing her university. So he's sent over $25,000 so far over a year and a half to a stranger in Philippines. And he goes, but I was really bad to my kids, so I feel better that, you know, I'm helping her go through university. And I said, what's your evidence that she actually has attended university whatsoever? He goes, oh, I've got photos of her, you know, with her little square thing on her head. And I said, you could probably go and buy one of those in the Philippines for 30 cents. This guy has been conned by women.
Big time.
Exactly.
All right.
This guy's way worse than you,
Roller.
Way worse than you.
All right. Before I go, I just want to do,
Sing a song.
Whatever Twitter is meet Dr. Susan Menares, the new nominee for the CDC, which is the Center of Disease Control. Now, you think about that, Center of Disease Control. By Donald J. Trump, the orange man himself. Now, let me just read what Donald Trump said here from Truth Social. It's like, I am proud to announce that Dr. Susan Menares is my nominee to serve as the next director of the Centers for Disease Control. And Prevention. Dr. Menares brings decades of experience championing innovation, transparency, and strong public health systems. And she has a PhD from the University of Wisconsin and a postdoctoral training in microbiology and immunology at Stanford University at the School of Medicine. As an incredible mother and a dedicated public servant, Dr. Menares understands the importance of protecting our children, our communities, and our future. Americans have lost confidence in the CDC due to political bias and disastrous mismanagement. Dr. Menares will work closely with the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert Kennedy Jr., and they will prioritize accountability and high standards and disease prevention to finally address the chronic disease epidemic, and we will make America healthy again. M-A-H-A, make America healthy again.
Well, how about I tell them
Donald J. Trump. Look at this picture here. I'll put it back on Rollo. It's on Rollo's balcony. There she is. Look at her smiling at the camera, taking, I don't know when that shot, even if the shot is being given.
Rollo's balcony.
We've got the blue gloves on.
I'm looking. Are you put on Rollo's balcony, or are you sure?
I'll put it on the balcony again. Here we go. Copy text. I'll put it back again. It is. No. Here we go. Give me a sec.
I'm waiting.
There we go. There you go.
Okay, got it. Okay.
No. That's
Harrison Ford. Dear idea. Hold on.
Someone's having a go at me. But you heard what I said. Hold on. Let me do it again. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
One, two, three, four, five.
All right. There we go.
He's typing.
Yeah, I know. I can see him.
I'm watching. 16 yeah. listeners. Wow.
Oh, we got 16 listeners. Awesome.
Why
awesome.
Would you bother listening to this kind of show? But it's because this is live chaos. There we go. Live chaos.
There you go.
Died suddenly.
So there's Donald. That's from Truth Social.
Okay.
That's Donald Trump. And I'm very, very disappointed. But unless Donald Trump is playing the... Because I have a lot of love for Trump. Did you see he got punched in the face?
Rollo.
Did you see he got punched in the face the other day?
Rollo.
Did you see that?
He got hit by a microphone.
Yeah, a microphone. Yeah.
That's not a punch in the face.
Some lefty.
A punch in the face is a guy coming up and smashing you with his fist.
All right.
Get closer to the mic.
But, you know,
Can I just change the subject?
I get
attacked literally on when I go to Facebook, and I'm telling you, I'm as bad as any of my children. Worse, probably.
Okay.
When I go in there, I say to my one particular son, I go, "Can you stop staring at your phone?" And he goes, "Dad, you're worse than me." And I go, "Oh, okay, maybe I am." And then I have to scuttle off sideways. I'm watching.
It's the world we live in, Rick.
These fucking smartphones. I'm watching, and I can't help watching this car crash known as Conor McGregor. He just interests me. Everything he's off his fucking head. But what
Conor
baffles me?
Conor McGregor is he the one that went in the ring with?
Lots of people.
No, but
what I like to see, look, he keeps fighting. He's got
the old black fella.
No, but he'll.
Who was that? That was Logan Paul, wasn't it?
No, Conor McGregor would fucking wipe Logan Paul out very quickly, I would say.
Really?
Now this guy, he's Irish, he's angry, but what baffles me is that he has got, because he's spent so much time in the octagon and ultimate fighting and street fighting and whatever, he's got no fear of being in a room with two guys about to smash their heads in, and he's standing right next to these guys, and like, I'm looking at his eyes, and it's like he's possessed. He has no fear. He has his jaw up in the air, laughing with his eyes glowing almost, which could say that he could be possessed. I don't know, but he's not scared.
What's the point? Like, is he wasted on drugs?
He's so confident that no one's going to knock him out that he's standing next to two guys just about to punch on. He's got his jaw up, which means his chin's. If your chin, all you have to do.
So it's nothing like WWE, like, you know, professional.
This is real fighting. This guy does.
All right.
Does real fighting. But he's not scared to be in the room or next to someone that's about to, like, have you ever get punched in the chin? Well, I was actually going to talk about this tonight. Have you ever been punched?
Yeah.
Have you ever been punched in the head? It doesn't hurt. Every time you get hit, it's like a numbing feeling. It's like, and I've been in several issues, multiple issues also, more than that. And including
not a part of your professional. No, where you're looking after the client.
No, being drunk on the streets in New Zealand.
Just having a good time. Yeah, why not?
And I had one night when I was 20, I got into a terrible contretemps, I would say that. And I, there was about
over what? What were you arguing about?
I had a big bottle of tequila down me and beer. And I said something to some guys that were doing, this is when break dancing first came out, and we'd been to see some heavy. And I said something to this guy, and then I looked around, and I suddenly realized there was not just him, there was a guy behind me and a guy to my, and one to my right. And I moved backwards, and next thing you know, I was boom on the ground. And I had at least one of them jumping on my head, one of them kicking me in the head at the same time. And in my body and whatever. And I was getting seriously fucking attacked.
You're getting skull fucked.
There was no pain whatsoever. You don't feel anything when someone's punching or kicking you. There is no pain. You just get this kind of, it's just this feeling of bang, and there's a concussion. There's a, anyway, that's what, so this Conor McGregor, he's obviously spent so much time lying down, getting punched in the head by Russians and being beaten by a couple of Russians. He's not even, there's not even this any fear in his face to be in this center of violence. And that's what, I guess, what happens to you if you spend so much time fighting as a profession. Yeah, and to be honest, one wrong punch could kill you, but he doesn't seem to be scared about anything. And in this, it just baffles me how brave the guy seems to be, or mentally ill, one of the two. You've been there. You've been punched in the head in the bus not long ago, I do believe.
I try to avoid those situations.
But when it happens, it doesn't hurt. There's no pain. Yeah. People worry about getting punched in the head. Actually, there is no pain. You just get this straight away. You get this kind of a knock, and then there's a numbness. There's no pain. Next day, yes, you will feel it. But in a real fight, there is no pain, except maybe your nose getting smashed by a fist. That does hurt.
How many times has your nose been busted?
Never.
Nah, me too.
It's been hit a few times.
Mine's never been broken.
But some,
you know when you see people where their nose is busted, and they try to set it back.
I've seen them on the side, and they can do it.
What about Jolo? Jolo, is he ever had his?
You're listening to
Rick and Jolo.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation
or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Thanks to Rick and Rollo, episode 25.
Yeah, actually, you Rollo, certainly are. Yeah.
Actually, Rollo, last night on my drive home.
Okay.
These guys played a song for me, and I thought, fuck, that's a great song. And we're going to play that when we do sign out tonight for the Rick and Rollo.
No, let's play it now. What's the song before we?
Black-Eyed Bruiser. By Stevie Wright, written, and guess who's playing guitar in it? Malcolm Young, AC/DC.
Oh, rest in peace, Malcolm Young.
And the song's written by his older brother, the young.
Oh, yeah, the other young.
But anyway,
he was the singer. Yep.
So I'm driving along last night.
Like Bruiser. I'll send it to Bella.
I was driving in the pouring rain, and I was going, listening to them talking and playing some great music. And I'm loving to be part of real radio. And when someone says, we'll play this for Rick. And they picked a great song, Black Eyed Bruiser, I was talking about. And have you ever had a black eye? Yeah, I've had a few. You don't notice it, though, till it can be 3 or 4 days later. You can get punched in the head. And you never get a bruise, but that's why the boxers and back in the old days used to put a stake on a collar.
Well, that's why my wife always says, I walked into a door.
I don't think so, right?
Here we go. Stevie Wright, Black Eyed Bruiser. It says, Black Eyed Bruiser was the second studio album from Australian singer Stevie Wright. The album was not as commercially successful as his predecessor, Hard Road, which would have been Wright's final album release for Vander. That's right, Vander and Young.
George Young, the second oldest brother, third oldest brother to Angus. So it's Angus, Malcolm, that's George, right. And the older
Can
brother.
Can I sit it, next to you,
the
girl? Can I
sit
next to you, girl? That's right, because they were a little bit glam rock back then, weren't they?
But Black Eyed Bruiser does sound a lot like another song, like the Kinks. You really got me by the Kinks, but Black Eyed Bruiser.
Oh, you really got me? I love that song.
Black Eyed Bruiser. Black Eyed Bruiser. is there sung by Stevie Wright, who literally was
just out of Tavele right then. He should come here in 5, 4.
No. We'll play 3. It at the end of our show.
Okay.
No, don't play it. When we leave, we'll play Black Eyed Bruiser.
I've had a few
of them, and you don't feel any pain getting punched in the head or whatever, but the next day or two to three days later.
You see a few stars when you
but you don't feel punched pain. There's no pain. But I'm looking at Conor McGregor has no fear of being hit by these really big guys that are, because he's only a little guy. And that, I guess, is because he's been hit so many times, he just doesn't even think about it. And he doesn't have concussion. He doesn't have a speech slur, which a lot of boxers do get. Maybe it'll happen. Why are the Irish such into...
Well, Adrian, why am I slurring? Adrian! Yeah.
That's true.
I swear, that's one of my favorite, yeah, when I was, how old was I, 6 years old when I saw Rocky? And then I saw Rocky and Rocky 2 as a, at a movie theater. I saw 1 and 2 together. Right. It was awesome. And when I was eight or nine years old.
I like the third. I think the third one was good as well. I thought.
Club
Alang.
I agree.
Club
Alang. Mr. T. I pity the fool. Yeah, that's it. Because he was all rich then, and he had all the
He's actually a
Pittsburgh or where was it? Where
around there? Yeah.
And so he was off somewhere else, and he was just like, I'm the man.
But Mr. T. Actually was the guy that he was a bodyguard for many, many big stars back in the day, way before he became a celebrity.
Good on him.
A year later,
he was on the A-Team.
What a great show.
That's the part. Can we get that theme tune? Where's Jolo?
No, Jolo's probably...
I think Jolo's probably off making love to his beautiful wife, probably. Good luck to him. George. Yeah, that's good. Oh, Me So Horny. He's going to play Me So Horny. I just heard it.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I did.
16 people listening to Rick and Rollo.
Me? 100%. So Horny. What was that song? It's called Two Live Crew. Me So Horny. Come on, can we hear that?
Unless it's relevant or relevant.
When I get my $1 million, I might go and move to Vietnam, and I will listen to this song.
My daughter is loving every second she's been in Vietnam. She's sending me photos. She's been to all these great places, having a great time.
Well, have you got a fake name for your daughter? Let me just say.
Enid
Blyton.
Enid Blyton. Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
Enid.
Yeah, well, I've read a couple of her books.
I'd like to bring up Enid Blyton. There's no way. I don't know if you've ever seen how many Enid Blyton books out there. Do you really think one woman knocked out that many books about elves, brownies, fairies, and
a lot of dwarves? People? There are a lot of men writing how many Richard? What's it? Backman.
Richard Backman was Stephen King's pseudonym. Yeah. And I'm telling you,
there's no way some of the best books. He's a big bullshitter.
I do have to say this, though, and I will before we sign off.
What's your favorite Backman book? Is it The Longest Runner, or is it the Shawshank Redemption?
The Green Mile. But Richard Backman has an
Australian connection, actually.
It does.
The Green Mile. Yeah, that it was sort of after the Green Mile, the guy that, what was his name? Dell, the one that got, you know, electric chair and Percy didn't do the proper thing where he didn't wet the sponge.
Mr. Jangles.
That's right. Well, after that, you know, they came to Australia and then and did a thing in Melbourne with old mate. You know, what was that? You know, the Anthony Hopkins. They did a movie, and it was a really good movie. Actually, I enjoyed it. Where they're trying to do a bank heist. And it was a comedy where they were so idiotic.
Yeah, he's a great actor. Anthony Hopkins, great actor.
That's the Welsh
for you. Why are the Welsh to a man are the great singers or great actors? You've got some
Tom Jones. Yeah,
you've got Richard Burton's narration of. War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds. That's right. Yeah.
That is what you call professional voice. The guy, you know, incredible professional voice.
There you go. And their plans against us. Yeah, what was it? And that ending, and he goes, dun, dun, dun. Hey, let's ask Phyllis if he can play a little bit of Jeff Wayne. A little bit of Jeff Wayne.
No, don't, because he's probably asleep.
There should be something from us. You remember? He's like, I love that Jeff Wayne.
Can I just tell you now, that came out exactly by coincidence, the same time as Close Encounters of the Third Kind by Steven Spielberg.
Exactly. Yep.
Exactly the same kind.
The guy from Jaws. He's a funny guy, actually. Richard Dreyfuss and Robert Shaw on Jaws, set did not get on at all.
Hated each other.
They hated each other.
And I love the fact that
there's Spielberg trying to fucking get this mechanical fucking shark to work in salt water.
And it didn't work.
And you got these. Two cunts that hate each other. Yeah.
We're gonna need a bigger bolt. We're gonna need a bigger bolt. And Quint.
Do you remember when they finally got that perfect shot where the shark, you try chumming this shit. Like there's Roy Scheider with a cigarette hanging out the side of his mouth, going, "You try chumming this shit." And then he takes a step back, and they do test audiences, and then they go, "No, we've got to do another second because the screams on the test audiences." But it's like 4 seconds. Like, you know how long that is?
But Rollo,
before he says, we're gonna need a bigger bag. It's like 3 or 4 seconds.
Yeah.
To allow the cinema to scream.
So isn't it strange? So Richard Dreyfuss just happens to pop into Close Encounters of the Third Kind, you know, 2 years later.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Which was a very powerful movie. And that showed a lot of,
I enjoyed it.
Well, you know what Close Encounters actually shows you if you watch it again? Okay. The whole COVID thing is all implanted, and they faked a disease and they had cows dead everywhere, which fed into the mad cow disease thing, which came in a few years later in England with the brain cancer.
Look, I was over there at the time, and I ate a steak, and I could not give a flying fuck.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing happened. When I was a meat eater
over there in 1999, I smashed that steak down like you would believe. Yeah. And everyone there's all like, humans are a bloody panicky. They are panicky.
Well, if they're told by their heroes, which is media identities, I'm talking about Alan Jones, we're going back to what we were talking about before the show.
I know.
And if those media identities have been contrived, and that's by someone like Epstein, who was doing the same thing, going around and making sure everyone that you know has got something to be guilty about. They'll say whatever they're told to say.
And everyone has something to be guilty about, but, you know.
Except for me and my
we don't talk about it out loud or we don't act upon it.
Everybody's got something to hide except me and my monkey. Beatles lyrics. Yeah. Beatles lyrics.
Yeah, you got it. No, you're right. This is Rick and Rollo.
Rick and Rollo.
This is top shelf. This is top shelf Rick and Rollo. Yeah.
No, Rick and Rollo is always top shelf. It's always top shelf. And that's why Ab likes to be
single malt. Single malt. Beautiful. And with a fresh microphone.
What did he say though? Chianti and a bit of liver.
Yeah, that's right.
Chianti and
a mashed banana. Family Guy, but no, it's a Chianti and with Chianti some fava. I ate his liver with some fava. And then when he does that, everyone won an Academy Award. Jodie Foster won an Academy Award. Yeah. He won an Academy Award.
Yeah. Yep.
Ted Levine. Ted Levine was like it. Does anyone remember Ted Levine?
No, who was he?
It rubs the lotion on its skin, or it gets the hose again. Ted Levine. Who remembers that name? I do, because he was in Monk. You know that show, Monk?
TV show. I remember that.
Yeah. But he stuffed his junk between his legs. And he did that dance. Oh, let's ask Belisette if he could play that piece of music.
No, we don't ask him to play anything. But at the end of the show, at the end of this talk, we'll play Black Eyed Bruiser by a real...
Black Eyed Bruiser. All right. But are you done yet?
Yeah, close.
You're close to be done.
Yeah, Stevie Wright was that rock star. He was that rock star that actually... did drink himself and drug himself. I met him, way into, everyone said he'd be dead by 40, and then he got to 50, and he was living.
Is he still with us?
No, he died 10, 15 years gone. Ago.
Okay.
But he was the lead singer for the Easy Beats. And, David Bowie.
That's right.
Did a cover of Friday on Your Mind, which is a sign that you're big. If David Bowie covers your song, big time, guaranteed. But Stevie Wright was living in
my wife has just come home, so that's a perfect. So let's do a big rest in peace. A big rest in peace to
Stevie Wright.
And the Vanda, honestly, AC/DC is like one of my favorite band. So
This is basically.
But we are going out now. We're going out with Black Eyed Bruiser. You play us out.
Black Eyed Bruiser by Stevie Wright, and it's got Malcolm Young playing lead guitar. So that's George Young playing that track.
Right,
and it's a real singer. He's the. Here we go.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good.
just a little bit of understanding. I don't want to be, and I ain't. And all I need is a little bit of love and care now. Don't want to be hated, man. Don't want to be.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Thank you very much, Joel and Rollo. And
thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
What a great ending for the thank you, Donald. Wonderful man.